First, though, it's often said that we know more about the mysteries of space than we do about our own oceans. One of the frontier areas of oceanography is a few thousand kilometres off the West Australian coast in the depths of the Southern Ocean. It is here that a deep ocean current has been discovered by Japanese and Australian scientists. This discovery is published in today's issue of Nature Geoscience. To explain further, we're joined from Hobart by Dr. Steve Rintoul. He's an oceanographer with the CSIRO and a leading authority on the circulations of the Southern Ocean and how that affects global climate systems. Steve, welcome to breakfast.
Thanks, Fran.
Steve, the ocean, it's full of deep currents. What's so interesting about this one that lies, I think it's 4,000 k's off the WA coast?
We had some suspicion that there might be a current there, both from theories of the deep ocean circulation said that there should be something there. And we'd been to the region before with ships a few times, but the measurements we'd made were all over the place. We couldn't really tell how strong the current was or how important it might be. And what we found is the strongest deep currents, that is currents below 3 kilometers depth in the ocean, the strongest currents we've ever measured. And what this tells us is that this deep current system is part of an important part of a global scale pattern of ocean circulation that really influences our climate.
And it's so influential, this deep current system, specifically because it is so deep and it is so immense. Give us a sense of why this particular current system is so influential.
So this current is strong. It's carrying as much water as about 40 times the world's largest river, the Amazon River. So there's a lot of water moving north. It's carrying cold, dense, oxygen-rich water from Antarctica northward into the rest of the ocean. So one reason it's important is that it's helping to maintain high oxygen levels in the deep ocean, and that's important for the deep biology. But the most important part of the current is that it's part of a global system of ocean currents that allows the ocean to store and to transport really vast amounts of heat and carbon dioxide, and that's the main way that the ocean influences climate. To understand how climate's going to change in the future and how we might need to respond, it's really important that we've mapped out the patterns of ocean currents that influence the ocean's ability to store and transport carbon and heat.
Okay, because in the future, if climate change has an impact on our ocean temperatures, then that impact will be felt on these deep current systems. That'll change the temperature of those systems too and what they're moving around, yeah?
That's right. So we've made measurements elsewhere in the ocean south of Australia and shown surprising evidence that the deep ocean is changing more rapidly than we had expected in response to changes in climate that are happening around Antarctica itself. And so we see that these dense waters that are being carried by these strong currents are becoming less salty and a bit less dense than they used to be. And that's helping us to map out the overall pattern of ocean change. One thing that people don't realize often is that when we talk about global warming, we're really talking about heating up of the ocean. About since 1950, about 90% of the extra energy that's stored by the Earth has gone into warming up the ocean. So if we want to look for evidence of climate change, the ocean is where we need to do it.
And are we finding that? You describe the changes as these currents are now a bit less salty and a bit less dense. Are they not as cold too? Are you finding that?
The temperatures haven't changed that much. That might sound a little counterintuitive, but the freshening, the lack of the decrease in salinity, we believe reflects increased melt of the ice around Antarctica, which in turn is linked to the warmer temperatures. So it's a bit roundabout. The warming of the ocean affects the ice around Antarctica, which in turn affects the salinity of this current.
And Steve, how do you gather this data? How did you even discover this current, let alone measure these currents? Because this particular one is 3 kilometres deep into the Southern Ocean.
That's right. So to find out how strong these currents are, we need measurements that span a long period of time. So we deployed some instruments into the current and left them there for 2 years. The instruments are the instruments are deployed along a long string of wire. It's about a centimeter in diameter. It's anchored to the seafloor with a couple of tons of scrap metal, in this case, old train wheels. And it's held vertically by floats deployed along that long string. So each one of these strings is about 3 kilometers long and would carry about five or six instruments each, and we had eight of these across the current. And after 2 years, we went back. We send a sound pulse down to the anchor mechanism, and it says, okay, it's time to let go. And it lets go, all the instruments float up to the surface, and we gather them up on the ship.
So the anchor stays down there, it releases the wire with all the instruments on it, that floats up, and you send a ship out at exactly that timing to gather it?
We don't have to do it at the exact time. We go out with the ship, and we send it a special sound code that says, okay, wake up, it's time to let go of the mooring. And it floats up to the surface, and we can get it.
And how sensitive are these data collecting instruments? Because it must get pretty rough down there.
It can be a bit dicey. The tricky part is, of course, getting it in the water and getting it out of the water. Once they're deployed, they're mostly okay. But this part of the ocean is renowned for being having the largest waves of any part of the ocean. And so we need both a bit of luck with the timing, with the weather, and need to be able to operate in pretty rough conditions.
And so the hard part is getting the ship there in amongst those waves to pick it up.
Getting the ship there and actually finding the mooring once it's released. It floats up to the surface, but it's just floating along the surface with some yellow plastic balls. It can be difficult to even find it. So it can be tricky if it's rough.
And you're heading back to Antarctic waters for more research this summer. There's a big part of a glacier broken off, is that right?
That's right. We'll be heading to the part of Antarctica that's immediately south of Tasmania. Earlier this year, a large iceberg that had been stuck in place for about 15 years broke free and ran into the end of this glacier tongue and knocked it off. This region's important because it's where the dense water that we measured in the current, this is where it actually sinks. And there are only a few places around Antarctica where the conditions are right for surface water to be made so dense, so heavy, that it can sink from the surface down 3 or 4 or 5 kilometers below the sea surface.
Okay, and Steve, this is a joint project, isn't it? Australian and Japan.
That's correct.
And the team of scientists go out together?
Yeah, we've been using both Japanese and Australian ships and both Japanese and Australian instruments. So we've been working with Japan for quite a while in the same part of the ocean, and that will continue in the future.
All right, fantastic. Steve, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Dr. Steve Rintoul is oceanographer with the CSIRO and the Antarctic Climate and Ecosystems Cooperative Research Centre. And that latest research they've found, this discovery of this new deep current lying many thousands of kilometres off our coastline, 4,000 k's off the WA coast, is published today in Nature Geoscience. It's 16 to 7 on RN Breakfast.